Welcome to the GO Bond Working Group of Denver City Council. This session of the GO Bond Working Group begins now.
Welcome to the last working group for the Vibrant Bond. So glad to be getting towards the finish line. Let's go around and do a quick round of introductions, and then I'll pass it over to the Department of Finance, and the floor will be yours. I'll start on my left.
Jamie Torres, West Denver District 3.
Daryl Watson, Fine, District 9.
Paul Cashman, South Denver, District 6.
Sarah Parody, one of your council members at large.
Chris Hines, Denver's Perfect 10.
Daisy Gilmore, District 11.
Diana Romero Campbell, Southeast Denver, District 4.
Amanda Sawyer, District 5.
Thank you. And then we'll pass it over to the Department of Finance. Just wanted to say before we get started, I served as the co-chair of the Executive Bond Committee, and we had several key community members that ended up spending what we thought were going to be three meetings. Ended up being way more. One time we had a 5-hour meeting. So just want to say thank you to the Executive Bond Committee members who served. They gave really great feedback. We're very, very thoughtful. I think we spent several Sundays together, Sunday afternoons. One Sunday, my family said, "Are you coming home?" And I said, "I will be there shortly." So just a shout out to Moa, to Christine, to Kayla, to Happy Haynes, to Murphy Robinson, Ben Sanders, Nicole Dehaney, and Federico Pena.
Mary.
And Mary. So just want to just make sure I shout out to we have a text group called the Vibrant Crew. And then just want to also just give a shout out to the Department of Finance, because every time we were in those meetings, they were looking at reduced scope. They were giving us actual feedback. They were presenting us with more information than you all would probably want to know. So just want to say thank you all for the dedication and the work. And with that, what we'll go over is the bond. Some of the package was released yesterday. So this is what was presented from the Executive Bond Committee to the mayor. And then I think you all know the rest of the process. The mayor will present us the ordinances, and then it will fall into us to refer it to the ballot. So with that, I'll hand it over to the Department of Finance.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I'm Laura Wachter with the Department of Finance, and Council President Sandoval. I also want to just echo the thanks to the Executive Committee. I think the conversations that they had and just their due diligence and their time commitment, it was just really neat to be part of and to watch them do their work. So want to echo that thanks to them and to you as well for leading that group. I will turn it over to Patrick Riley.
Patrick Riley with the Department of Finance. I'm the Vibrant Bond Program Manager. There was a ton of effort that went in. I'd be remiss if I didn't call out all of our partners in the agencies, whether it was Parks and Rec or Arts and Venues, and Dottie, who had subject matter experts both in the room or on calls or available for us. There's been a lot of hours that went into this process. So with that, we'll go ahead and jump into the presentation. So we're going to talk through the recommendations. We want to talk through the ballot language and the companion ordinance a little bit today. We're going to review the timeline, which is steadily getting smaller, and then give some time for Q&A. You kind of took my thunder away a little bit. wanted to just, again, call out all the work that was done by the Executive Committee the wonderful work that was done, in particular by our non-government partners that were there, Christine and Kayla and Moa and Happy and Mary and Secretary Pena and Murphy. So, talking about the bond. Because we haven't done that at all over the last 6 months. As you all know, we went into all the districts. We got thousands of community responses. We talked to nearly 1,000 people. That led to our subcommittee process, which everyone here participated in some form or fashion. That led to 215 projects being recommended across the five subcommittees. That is fewer projects in total than the previous bonds. And there's a number of reasons for that, and we can get into those details if you'd like. We ended up with some pretty significant dollar figures associated to those bonds and into those projects, and there's a lot of reasons that go into that. We asked the executive committee, as they were doing their work, it was a little bit different than the subcommittees. We asked them to evaluate the subcommittee's rankings. We asked them to evaluate the budget for the first time. We asked them to kind of take a look at things at a higher, more evolved way than what we had previously. The criteria kind of took, even in the same categories like equity or community needs and benefit, it evolved further. They met through May and June. Again, I think we were anticipating a shorter amount of meetings, and that did not work that way. It took a lot of hours to get through. We talked pretty detailed about the projects as a whole. We heard from the subcommittee chairs, we heard from city agencies, we heard from partner organizations, we heard public comment at these meetings, we heard from community advocacy groups. The amount of letters that have crossed my email over the last couple of months is voluminous. What we really started to see come out of this was that we're seeing core themes kind of emerge. The connectivity being one. We care about our roads and our bridges and the ability to move around the city. We care about our public health and safety. And we care about our parks and the things we interact with. That's our cultural venues. That's our recreation. That's our art. That's our city facilities. And that's housing. Those are the things we interact with on a daily basis. So getting into the actual list, multimodal and safety improvements to Santa Fe and West 38th. You start to see the similarities between those projects, hopefully. Santa Fe had been kind of the last one out and just barely missed on the last couple of bonds, and it was good to see that get through. Intersection improvements to First and University, we're seeing a lot of movement through that area. Repairs to bridges and underpasses. So whether you're going under them or over them, I think we've heard pretty clearly out of the South Platte River Committee a couple weeks ago. We heard it out of community meetings that there's a need to connect our communities together and allow people to be able to move, whether that's in a car or on a bike or on a scooter or by foot. And that leads to that last point. I don't think that there's anybody here that hasn't at some point in time in a meeting said, my constituents really care about their crossings. We get phone calls about stop signs. We get phone calls about crosswalks. We get phone calls about traffic signals. So we have clearly heard that, and I believe the executive committee clearly heard that. When it comes to public health and safety, we got a ton of support for the Westside Family Health Center. I'm going to skip the second bullet point because I'm going to come back to it. We had a lot of support for the expansion of and renovation of the animal shelter. There's a need for a first responder safety training center. We need to be able to recruit and retain talent to our first responders. And there are needs for accessibility improvements to emergency shelters and supportive housing in the city. Going to DCAC, I wanted to call that out just because of the nature of that project. And I think that it's a critical facility in the city. And I think that a lot of people don't understand exactly what it is, myself included. It is a co-location of Denver Police, the district attorney, Denver Health. I am probably looking at the two people that know way more about this than I do.
DHS and DCAC.
Yes. So this is a center that helps children that have been traumatized get the help that they need and support through really, really traumatic experiences. Councilman Or Councilwoman, do you have anything to add there? Okay, I say I know that this is something that you've talked about before. So, Parks, Rec, Art, Culture, Libraries, Housing, and City Facilities. We've heard that there is need for lighting on the Cherry Creek Trail improvements. We know that there's lighting improvements needed on the Highline Canal Trail. We heard that there is an improvement, like a need to build out Park Hill, a need to build out Emporia Park. We have current parks and playgrounds that need work as well. So whether that's Harvey Park or Lindsley Park, the pools at Atzlin, at Eisenhower, at Cook, at Wash Park, some of these pools need to be maintained, or we run the risk of these pools needing to be shut down in the next few years, which would be major losses to these communities. Again, the list is there. I don't want to just read the list to you. And then aquatic and environmental health improvements to Sloan's Lake. There were multiple Sloan's Lake adjacent projects on the list. This is the one that focuses on the wastewater forebays, the silt infiltration, stabilizing the lake edges, and really serves as the first stage. Renovations to libraries. Montbello, I don't see Councilwoman Lewis here, but Montbello is obviously critical for that community. The Blair Caldwell Library needs work. Decker needs work. We got, I think, the second most letters that I saw during this process were for the 303 Artway, that they would really like to see a lot done there. Electrification and repairs at city facilities. This is about HVAC and electrifications and addressing our coming climate needs. Co-locating housing alongside city facilities, starting with a new library co-location in the East Colfax area, and then a middle-income housing project development as well. Additionally, there are a number of arts and culture facilities that are also proposed to get funding as well. So that is Red Rocks, that's the zoo, Betcher, Botanic Gardens, the Museum of Nature and Science, and a new American Indian Cultural Embassy. Just want to remind everyone, every piece of information that has happened during this process, whether that is the original intake forms and the maps, the subcommittee information, every bit of that still lives online at denvergov.org/vibrantbond. Getting into the ballot questions and the companion ordinance, we wanted to just kind of provide a refresher on the differences between the two things, so that way everyone is, as we head toward this process, kind of refreshed on it. The ballot questions will be referred by you, and those typically will reference projects at a high level. And we'll show examples of this. But in Elevate, you, as a body, had referred questions for your facilities in Parks and Rec, libraries in public safety, Denver Health, the cultural facilities, and transportation systems. The companion ordinance, which comes behind but with it, gets into a much more granular level of detail, naming out the individual projects. So the ballot language can't name every single project. The companion ordinance will. An example of what the ballot language looks like. So this was from Elevate. This was question 2D. You'll see kind of in the yellow there, we call out very specifically, like we're doing courts, we're doing playground equipment, we are doing irrigation systems, we are doing a construction of a park in Sun Valley. But when you get to the companion ordinance, it is very specific of exactly every project that was in that ballot question. So we wanted to let you know as a body that, we've heard your questions and your critiques through this process. We've heard the concerns over citywide programs and how the implementation of those citywide programs have gone in the past. Because of that, we still have small citywide programs, things like street pavement, that trying to call out an individual intersection or individual block is that granular level detail is just too too granular. But for things like parks, for things like individual pools, things that had been bundled up during the subcommittee process, we have debundled every bit of that for this list. If you went through the list yesterday when it was released, you will see there is no citywide pool bundle anymore. That is now named out individually. There is no citywide park bundle anymore. Those are named out individual parks. And we will continue to carry that through the companion ordinance process. That will be what we would present to you. The citywide programs are focused really on traffic signals, street paving, pedestrian crossings, things that the granularity really becomes just kind of overwhelming. We also heard the concerns over pricing, that some prices didn't feel like they had been validated well enough. We are going back through pricing yet again. We wanted to make sure that everything that we hand you to approve is deliverable. I don't know that there's anybody that is at this table that hasn't been asked to value engineer a project that is in their district or to cut something that they felt was really critical to a project. We don't want to do that. We want to make sure that we're handing you full projects with full project budgets, which means if we said that there would be trees there, we want to be able to provide those trees. We want to be able to provide that to you and to your constituents. We don't think that success looks like the end of this bond, us coming back to you and saying, hey, we overshot all the budgets by $100 million. What do you want to do with this $100 million? That's not successful either, because that would have meant that we could have put $100 million worth of projects in right now. And as we've talked about before, and I'm sure it'll get set at some point in time, the only thing that I can guarantee as it comes to construction here is that the prices go up 4 to 6% next year. So in 3 or 4 years, it'll be more expensive than it will be next year. So we want to make sure we dial this in as close as we can. And to do that, we're spending extra time both with our consultants, our third-party experts, and our agencies to make sure that we have the most up-to-date pricing and dial that in as close as we can. We have our contingencies built in to make sure that we can deal with reasonable levels of fluctuation. Can't deal with some of the stuff that comes out of Washington. I don't think anybody can, but we've got a little bit of reasonable levels in there. Our goal at the end of the day is to see successful implementation of projects. My favorite slide in the entire deck. We actually got to move the star from one box to the other. I didn't get just shifted over a little bit this time. We're now in mayoral review as of yesterday. The mayor has the executive committee's recommendations. He is working through them with the intent to present a revised list back to you all shortly. Our proposed timeline, we've begun doing one-on-one briefings, understanding that we've done some of those before that list was released. And if you had a one-on-one briefing before that list was released and you would like to meet again to talk through it, please let myself, Laura, or Schwartz know. We will absolutely accommodate that. We're in that green box now where we're meeting today. July 15th is Mayor Council, where you will have your opportunity, obviously, to continue to talk there. July 22nd is the proposed date for business and finance. 28th is our proposed courtesy public hearing and the first reading, and August 4th would be the second reading. A reminder of legislation actions. You all as a body would consider the companion ordinance. You will consider the bond questions and the ballot language. If approved by you, it'll go to the ballot. If approved by the voters, you would still approve every debt issuance that we did for the bond and any construction or design contract over $500,000. And that's everything I have.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Laura. You two were critical in the work we did. So thank you. Just want to welcome Councilwoman Gonzalez Gutierrez and one of the other members, Ben Sanders, to the table. Thank you for joining us. So with that, I have in the queue, I have Councilmember Cashman, Torres, and Councilman Romero Campbell. Anyone else, please just get my Councilmember Hines. First up, Councilmember Cashman, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much, Madam President. I have numerous concerns about the bond list, the bond process. I'll try to not say things I will want to pull back. I couldn't believe you released a list of the projects without the dollar figures. It's a meaningless list. I mean, it's just tone deaf. I don't know what you think we're thinking of here, how we're going to consider things. None of the projects without a dollar figure can be evaluated. So I thought that was thoughtless, to say the least. First in university, I've asked Dottie over and over and over and over and over again how they could consider redoing that intersection without the two intersections within a couple of hundred yards to the south at Cherry Creek Drive, north and south, and have gotten absolutely zero response from Dottie. So I question Dottie's ability, when we're looking at a list of intersections and intersections and intersections, their ability to prioritize or deliver on this. So seriously concerned about that. As far as parks, all the projects are good projects. Parks and Rec gets a large general fund disbursement every year. They get 40-some million dollars every year through the Parks Legacy Fund. They've got other funding mechanisms. I've got critical safety projects in my district that did not make this list. That ain't going nowhere for another 5 to 10 years if they're not on this bond package. So, and August 4th for second reading, when, well, the process has been rushed. The executive committee has had, what, 6-8 weeks of hour after hour meetings, but we're supposed to kind of give you a high five and second reading by August 4th. I don't see it happening. Thank you, Madam President.
You're welcome. Councilwoman Torres?
Thank you, Madam President. Just a couple comments. One is that I appreciate the emphasis on ensuring our current assets are up to date, modern. One of the things that was mentioned in my conversation with Councilman Flynn, who's not here, and I just want to hear some of the internal conversation or feedback that you got about the first responder training facility, because it had been of interest to have our District 4 district station modernized as well, and maybe that was an internal prioritization that even the department weighed in on, but just want to get something clear, clarified on the record around why the first responder training center over district station upgrades.
So District 4 is the last station that still has a need. Six is currently
they're in a current bond, though.
Yeah. They have technically bond.
So it is the last unfunded, unplanned district station to be done. As far as what the deliberations were and why those decisions were made, I, to be honest, I can't tell you exactly what every person that sat on that committee and why they prioritized one or the other. I think my opinion, and I want to be very clear, just my opinion, is I think that that station could be potentially parsed out into both a renovation and an addition, because that's ultimately what that project is two kind of different things. There's an addition that would add roughly 20,000 square feet and a renovation of the existing station. I think it was more palatable and achievable in a CIP where the safety training center was a higher priority and is likely only achievable through a bond.
Okay, if there, and I'm happy to take more information back, but I just want to make sure that there's some public rationale about why that might have been the case.
Yeah, so, and again, those are, I want to be very clear, just my opinions.
Can I just jump in on that?
Sure.
Councilwoman Gonzalez-Gutierrez and I sat on the safety committee, and that was not the recommendation that came from the safety committee at all. We felt very strongly about
for being included in the bond. Okay. And there were three projects that were what we considered to be like one plus, right? And those were the safety training facility, the Children's Advocacy Center, and the third one was, Serena, do you remember what the third one was?
Septens?
No.
No, it wasn't Septens. Was it the lighting? Was
Harvey
it?
Park lighting?
No.
Animal shelter?
It was one that.
It was the animal shelter, I think. Yeah. And so, but District 4 redesign was considered, along with Station 19 redesign, where we have no female firefighters because there's no privacy for female firefighters, right? Like, the projects that we looked at as a health and safety, and Serena, jump in if I'm saying anything wrong here, but all of those projects to us were absolutely critical, and in anything we put forward as a level one from that committee, we meant to have included in this bond. So whatever happened in the executive committee conversations, I can't speak to, but there was, it was absolutely not negotiable that any of the level one things that came out of the health and safety committee were not included in the bond.
Okay. And I know that the training facility has had a much larger overall price tag than maybe what we're even considering here, but I just want to be that would be really helpful, I think, as we think about the emphasis. I agree on making sure our pools are maintained. We don't want to be shutting down pools or rec centers or libraries, anything like that. So just that's just a could be a follow-up question between now and next Tuesday. Even if they're individually called out, some the questions around the bundles, will they be rebundled when they're actually back coming to us on the floor, or are they staying separated out as individual projects?
They're intended to stay separated.
Okay, so we won't see a parks lighting bundle, a playground bundle.
No, you will see individual playgrounds named on the companion ordinance.
Okay.
And I think we'd want to do something in the companion ordinance of improvements to playgrounds and parks to include, but not limited to. So yeah. Ensuring that those are included,
that would
if there's
be really
capacity
helpful
to do more, then there will.
In the park subcommittee, it was important for, like, we didn't go through detail by detail for parks that need lighting, right? Like, we were leaning on the department. Now you apply the parks that hit equity criteria that are queued up for design, for construction. Like, we did not deliberate that as a subcommittee. And so particularly if there is unspent dollars, if we've overestimated or contingency that does not get used,
exactly,
that those could be used for something like that.
Exactly. And so leaving that flexibility to ensure that we do have those named projects, those projects that you saw and are in the list. But if we do have that contingency and to have that flexibility to do more.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so that's
okay.
Exactly the yep.
One thing, and I've been in conversation with the mayor about this as well, are the 6th and 8th Avenue bridges. And I'll just say, and I've said to him as well, these were not on CIP before, so they were not in deliberation with my community when we were asking for recommendations. So I think should be well communicated what needs to be done on those bridges and why now, if they were not existing projects on the capital improvement projects list prior to now. Obviously 8th, I think, does. It was supposed to be replaced in a prior bond, more expensive than, like, there's reason why I can see 8th being on this list. So just want to share, I think, that bit of feedback as well. Okay.
Sure.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Madam President.
Yep. Next up, we have Councilwoman, Council Pro Tem Romero Campbell.
Thank you, Madam President. And truly, thank you for the work that you and the committee did. I know that was not easy, and it was a lot of hours. So I just appreciate that you guys took the time to come forward. I think similar to Councilman Cashman's comments. I think that there are things that in this process, community came out and prioritized, and it's not reflected. And I know that there are a lot of communities that came out and prioritized things for their community. I am disappointed, to say the least. I think that the Highline Canal and Cherry Creek obviously do need lighting, but the lighting that we need are crossing lights, hawk signs, which I had on the priority list and that we've been asking, and my predecessor has asked for. And so this isn't a new ask, but something that has been needed for a long time. I'm also concerned that we still need to get the MOU completed for the Highline Canal so that we can take ownership of it. So to have a bond project without having that MOU done is concerning to me. And so I think that those two things go hand in hand. When I think of, and in the conversations that we had in our bond subcommittee, I was on the library rec centers and buildings, we had talked a lot about the repairs that need to be made. And I do think that, you know, Eisenhower specifically for District 4 needs those repairs. And I look at the list of the others and I realize that as well. From an equity standpoint, I have a Nest neighborhood in Southeast Denver. We often talk about gentrification in neighborhoods. Well, Southeast Denver is a changing neighborhood where we have a lot of folks that are moving into what is naturally occurring affordability. And if we are not considering the resources and the amenities that are available to families, seniors, children, we don't have the same set of resources in other communities. So other than the Hampton Library, I don't have a place for young people to go. I know that the skate park was a very high priority and something that came forward because young people came together and said that they wanted that. It is something that my predecessor advocated for. It's something that I've been advocating for. So for a new rec center, which seems very extravagant, I'm sure, is a much needed resource in an area that we don't have those resources. So I'm just curious, is it because it's on a CIP list? Is it because these things will move forward? Is it because they will already be in the pipeline in some way? It's a question that I have. And I think that for me, it's those are big items that came out and that District 4 community specifically asked for, wanted, that I hear on a daily basis. We did a community survey. These things have surfaced. And so it feels like we have a mismatch here. I think Safe Crossings in the bundle, I don't know if you will have, you know, Evans corridor. You know, we're not asking for new sidewalks or trees. We're asking for people just to be able to cross the street at Holly, at Monaco, where else, over off of Birch. You know, give me an intersection. You know, we could do Dahlia. I can just name all the intersections down on Yale that cross in between District 4 and District 6. That came up through an Evans corridor study. Those things have been identified and I think are critical in being able to connect communities and passage, not only for pedestrians and for bikes. You know, I think about, you know, the Hampton corridor study that happened many years ago. We have a high impact intersection that is not reflected. I don't know if it's in the bundling, but it has one of the highest, what is it, side swipe or the side impact. It's been highlighted, and that's over on Hampton and Dahlia. CDOT has named it, Dottie has named it, we have identified it. I get calls weekly about this intersection and yet still not reflected. So I would hope that we can continue to have discussion as to what is on this priority list. And I know that you have been working, and Patrick, you heard a lot when you came to Southeast Denver about people in the need. It just feels like a little bit of a mismatch. People want to be able to cross safely. The High Line Canal does go through Southeast Denver. But the lights we need are crossing lights or hawk lights or, you know, something to the effect of just being having people have that transport through through the district. So I hope that we can continue this conversation. I do think the timeline is very fast in order to figure this out. I know that, you know, when you look at the list, there are things that are so incredibly important for the entire city, but I also think we need to think seriously about where do we have people living currently and what are those resources that are available to them. So I don't know if, I will ask, I'm sorry, that was sharing it all, but I do wonder then, does that mean that the rec center and the skate park and the current park plans that are going through, does that mean that they are 100% on the CIP and will be completed?
Yeah, currently they're not on the CIP, and we do have Joe in here as well to speak to the rec center and the master plan that's currently going on as well. But so currently the skate park and the new rec center are not on the CIP. They are on the six-year CIP list. So as through the annual budget process and looking through those various funding sources, you know, of taking a look at that as well. So
for the sake of this, I mean, I have made notes here. I'm sure Evan is making notes as well. We can take these comments back to the mayor as he is doing his pass through.
So I'm kind of hearing no. They're not on the list. Currently, am I summarizing that correctly?
Yeah. They're on the six-year CIP list. So
no. I just don't see how District 4 priorities Southeast Denver is reflected in this proposal. It's not. And so I think that there's still work to be done. And hopefully we can have, bless you, and hopefully we can have some additional conversation because it doesn't feel done.
Absolutely. I definitely would love to have further conversations.
But I do agree it would be nice to at least know what the amounts are and what we're looking at for each of these projects. There are a lot of unfinished. I mean, we just want a shade canopy. I just want to have an ADA accessible.
Well, I mean, I'm going to have to cut you off because I know there's lots of.
I know. I apologize. I have a lot to say about it. Thank you, Madam President, and thank you.
Yep, Councilmember Hines.
Thank you, Madam President. I've mentioned before that I have some concerns about the process too. You know, as part of the Transportation Subcommittee, the single highest item that we moved forward was 13th and 14th, and I don't see that on the list at all, just as an example. I'd be curious, so to Councilmember Cashman's point, it's kind of hard for me to get a true sense of the thought process without dollar amounts. And so I see, as far as District 10, there's Betcher, there's Botanic Gardens, and maybe Cherry Creek. Cherry Creek is in at the border of District 10, but I don't know if the lighting is, you know, where exactly it is. Mm-hmm. So just in the sake of brevity and time, I'm curious about the bullet point about equity amongst council districts. So that's from a District 10 perspective. From you know, transportation subcommittee perspective that I was on, I don't see our top item at all on the list. So just wanted to leave those there. Looking forward to the conversation that the briefing that we have coming up. Thank you, Madam President.
What was the top item?
13th and 14th, and I think that's in Council District 5 as well.
Yep.
In addition to Council District 10.
And also 8.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next up, Councilwoman Perdy.
Yeah, I will try to keep it quick. I think one thing I continue to have questions about, we talked about a little bit yesterday, but the middle income housing item, I've read the description of that and I'm still a little bit unclear about whether that's envisioned as being city owned, because it doesn't say that in the description. And also why middle income, why not mixed income or affordable, you know, lower income. And where did that idea come from?
Adam. We're going to phone a friend here. And so I think, and to your question, to Adam, and to your question about just the city owned, I think the intent is for it to be so development opportunities on city owned land. So.
Okay, sure. But what I'm asking about is the ownership outcome, like understanding that it may be a land that starts out as being city owned, where does it go? And then, Adam, I'll just add a quick gloss to that, which is we excluded, as I understand it, all of the proposals that came from like housing and shelter partners or that came up through the process other than the idea of city-owned mixed income housing, which Councilmember Lewis had advocated very strongly for and a lot of community members had also submitted. And my understanding of why we drew that distinction was because we were talking about not using the bond funding for anything that the city wouldn't ultimately own, which I think has been inconsistent in a number of ways. So, but I'm just wondering about the, if we excluded all those projects, didn't consider them, and now we have this sort of amorphous thing, I'm just trying to understand how we got here. So yes, Adam, thank you.
Sure.
I will remind you to introduce yourself just because I'm the one talking.
Yep, thank you. Adam Lyons, Deputy Director of Housing Opportunity for Host. Yes, to the first question, it is the intent for the city to own the underlying land and then lease it to a developer to build the improvements. So we would really get to control what gets built where and for who. We had some great success in the past where we do own the land and then we RFP it out. And we actually have an RFP under review right now with quite a bit of submissions for development partners to quickly assign land to them once properties do become available. Then we can really kind of streamline and fast track that process of conveying the land through a low-cost land lease. To the middle income question, you know, a lot of host resources really are for that 60% AMI and below. So one of the goals here as well is that with a low cost land lease from the city, that would be, you know, the bulk of the city subsidy, if not all the city subsidy, by essentially providing the land. And the deeper the AMIs go in a lot of these projects, then the additional resources that we would need to provide in the form of gap financing or other subsidies.
Okay. What do we mean specifically by middle income? What's the range?
Typically in that 60 to 100% AMI range. Of course, the expanding housing affordability policy would still be in effect, so they would still be on the hook to provide that threshold anywhere from 8 to 12%. So it'd really be projects that vastly exceed that, if not 100% affordable at the 100% AMI level or below, but the vast majority of those units being restricted at that level.
Okay. I would love to see more of a detailed, like, financial feasibility, like a sheet of how we think this financing would work out for particular projects, because it's just not exactly a model that I've heard about before. And then I would really be interested in understanding why we would use bond dollars to purchase land rather than doing Prop 123 applications, getting the land that way, and then use bond dollars to build and own housing. So this just feels a little out of left field. Adam, do you know where this idea came from exactly?
Really just in conversations with hosts, with real estate, with the Department of Finance and the mayor's office.
When was it put in front of the executive committee? Because it wasn't in front of the subcommittee.
It was part of the, I believe it was the very first meeting of the executive committee where all the EDs and myself presented project ideas and I presented this project to them at the time.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Is that sorry. It, Councilman?
One last thing, Adam. I'm so sorry. You said the very first meeting with all the EDs. Do you mean the first bond executive committee meeting and
Correct.
You attended it? Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys. My only other question was about whether we're still contemplating a component of bond dollars becoming participatory budgeting dollars. I know that was talked about, but I'm not sure where that landed. And that's it.
And that currently is in the executive committee's recommended list.
Oh, well, we don't know amounts. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Gilmore?
Thank you, Council.
Councilman Sawyer on deck.
Thank you, Council President. Thank you for all the work that the city staff has done, along with the executive committee. And I went back and looked at the original list that the community gathered together and that we really promoted for people to be involved in. And first, we're as the community super excited about the American Indian Cultural Embassy and that being a first step. and really excited to move forward in that process, not knowing what the dollar amount is that's allocated towards that. But then, you know, really brought it into clear focus in the Denverite article yesterday when they listed out all of the bond projects and missed District 10 and 11. And when it was for 11, the only one that was listed was the Montbello Rec Center. And when I go back and look at the list, the Montbello Rec Center did not show up on any of the lists that we asked for. And so I would just ask for further clarification on that. And, you know, other than me going back and poring over the executive committee notes, I think it's similar into how did that arise? Because when I went back and even looked at the tiering, it wasn't even on the original list. So I just want to clarify that if there was some miscommunication about that, and that, you know, I recognize that drilling down into the specific intersection is cumbersome, but that's what my residents expect. The level of specificity from me when they're calling in a location. And it would be really helpful for them to get behind the project or projects once I get more information for District 11. But there's 11 traffic signals that I've been advocating for years on, and they're gonna want to have a citywide map sooner than later of all these projects. So I would just ask, going forward, if we could get that from you all, otherwise we're gonna have council aides or others in the community trying to create those maps. So I think it's just better to do it from the get-go on it so that we can kind of see visually where these projects land in the city. And so thank you again for all the work. I know it's been quick. I know that we will never get this perfect, but we're working with what we have, and I just want to have more information so that I can make sure my constituents are inspired and engaged and understand how much this is going to affect their day-to-day as well. So thank you. Thank you, Council President.
Thank you. Next up, we have Councilman Sawyer with Councilman Gonzalez-Gutierrez on deck.
Thank you, Madam President. I think I have a real concern about pricing. We have talked about pricing, so I don't need to rehash everything, but I will say from the pricing that I have seen for District 5 projects, it is out of whack. And there is so much more I could have for the residents of District 5 or that could go to residents in other neighborhoods who need it if the pricing were correct. And so without seeing that pricing, I'm very, very concerned that what's going to happen is these projects are going to be overpriced and all of the leftover dollars are going to go to the Park Hill Golf Course. Uh-huh. And that is not okay. So I also haven't been provided any language. So I'm curious what in the language is going to make it clear that overages of contingency dollars, just the charter requires 2% contingency on every capital project, which means that has to be built in here. That 2% cannot be spent unless it's on overages on the projects until the end. So if we have a big bubble of money at the end of this 2%, how do we know where that money is gonna go? What language is gonna be in there that ensures to me that our mayor doesn't just get to put it towards his pet project as opposed to it going towards projects that our community members care about? I don't know if you guys have noticed from the feedback around the table, but you don't have 7 votes to refer this to the ballot anyway. So somebody needs to fix this and quick. And I swear to God, if I hear the mayor on Monday night at his State of the City address start talking about, you know, people voting on the bonds before we have referred them as city council, which is our charter responsibility, like he did last year for 2R, I am going to get up and walk off that stage. I am out of patience with this process. I am incredibly frustrated. I am incredibly angry. And I am representing my residents who feel exactly the same way I do. So it needs to be said. The other thing I have a lot of concerns about, having lived through both Rise and Elevate, is who is doing the implementation of this. because I don't trust Dottie to do the implementation of this. I have seen the what has gone down over these last two bonds, and I am not impressed. And I do not trust 800 million or however much, we don't actually know because we haven't seen the prices, to the Department of Transportation and Infrastructure to get this done right. So I think that needs to be said here as well. There are real issues with what we saw yesterday, which, by the way, was a press release and not actual information for council members. And I'm not yelling at you guys. I know how hard you guys have been working on this, and I so appreciate it. But the mayor's office needs to hear us. Come on. This is ridiculous. And you guys are putting us in a position where we are going to have to either vote no, vote yes and not do a good job of representing our constituents, or sit for hours on the floor with, you know, with amendment after amendment after amendment after amendment after amendment in order to get this done right. And none of those are good options for us or for our residents or for this city. So I am begging you, fix this. Thank you.
Understood.
Next up, we have Councilwoman Gonzalez Gutierrez with Watson on deck.
Okay, I'll make this really quick. I just want to, first of all, I want to thank all of the staff. I know how hard you all worked in having sat on the Health and Safety Subcommittee, and I'm looking at the folks over here from DOF. I don't even know how you did this. I feel like you were probably working 24/7. And I know that you had to deal with a lot of emotions and a lot of us and our feedback in this process. And so I do thank all of you for that, and know that, you know, I think a lot of the comments that are being said are not necessarily towards all of you. And so I just want you to hear that. The second thing I just want to say is that I want to echo some of the sentiments that I've heard from my colleagues when it comes to the amounts for these projects and not having any kind of transparency there or clarity. You know, I have expressed this to the mayor. They feel like we're operating in the dark. We're operating in a tunnel. We don't know what's happening. We don't know what we're looking at. I also want to echo Council Pro Tem's sentiments as well, as far as like what we heard at these meetings. I went to maybe 6 or 7 and had some of my staff also attend several of these community conversations. And so the things that I had prioritized were both things that I heard from my colleagues in their districts and things that were of importance from their community, and also things that I heard live at the table. And if there was a combination of those things, I thought, wow, like I'm hearing this from all different ends, from my colleagues, from the district council members, and also from community members that are attending these meetings, taking time out of their day to propose their ideas. And there's a lot of things obviously that didn't make it up to that. Like, you know, the skate park is one. I know one that, and I know Councilwoman Lewis is not here, and I'm just trying to suss out whether or not this housing attached to library is in the East Colfax neighborhood, because I know that that is something that community has advocated for years, if not decades, as well as the East Colfax Recreation Center, which did not make it on here. And I know that that was one of the highest priorities. And so if there's any clarification around that, I would love that. I think we need a lot more detail than this PowerPoint of what all of these involve. You know, like even the Sloan's Lake piece, it's very kind of broad and vague. And then the last thing I'll just say, and I know we had a conversation around equity at one of these meetings, I would really like to dive in to what is that equity analysis? What is the equity analysis that's going to be prescribed to when it comes to the implementation and when it comes to the citywide projects? Because what I heard from a lot of my colleagues as I was making calls over the last couple weeks to folks is, you know, we talk a big game, and I'm going to use, I don't want to call you out, but is it okay if I call you out, Councilman? We talk a big game about the inverted L, right? And we talk a big game about investing in those communities that have historically not been invested in. And so I want to just make it very clear that I know that that is something that I continue to look at. You know, I've been with the city for
20 years, like in some capacity or another, whether it's working for the city or a partner, and everybody talks about the inverted L. And yet it's still the inverted L, or it's the bow tie, whatever you want to call it. And so I think that is something that I want to continue to look for. Thank you. Thank you, Madam President.
You're welcome. Councilmember Watson.
Yeah, thank you, Madam President. Thank you so much to the DF team and this presentation. Thank you to the Executive Committee for your work on this, and for the folks in the audience that participated in any of the working groups. I was on transportation along with Cashman and Hines. I want to be clear. It is my intention, from listening to the community prior to being elected, since I've been elected, and throughout this process, to ensure that the priorities in D9, that they elevated, that are listed here, Blair Caldwell Library as one of them, that we get this right so we can get this to a vote of the people, and so that my community doesn't have to wait another 15 to 20 years begging for some of these projects that have been excluded from prior bonds. We know this is not going to be a process where everything that we brought forward, almost $2 billion or whatever the number was, our priorities, we have a set amount of dollars. I think this is fixable, I think this is doable, and I would appreciate the numbers so we can see that we're level setting on a fiscal responsibility of what the bond looks like. I also would like to see much more clarity on the equity process, but I do wanna make clear, the many meetings I had with communities in District 9, with outside of the regular workshops that the city provided, I had a room full of over 120 elders at Blair Caldwell, talking to me about the archives that are being destroyed because they're not waiting another decade to have not just HVAC, but to have an actual functioning museum. I'm not willing to wait, and I'm not willing to tell them to wait. And so we at City Council need to get this right. The administration, y'all got to do what you need to do before we vote, but I am not sitting here looking at a no vote. I'm looking at work that needs to be done, and we need to spend the time to get this right, because I am not going back to my community after all the hours we spent to put forward priorities and say that we at this table are going to say no and not give them the chance to vote again and wait another 10 years. Thank you, Madam President. Thank you.
Thank you. So just want to say thank you all for your candor. Thank you all for your feedback. I have sat in these meetings, and I will say it was probably one of the hardest. I keep thinking that I can't have another harder job after leading during COVID. And literally, this was one of the hardest things I've had to do, was figure out how to represent all of you and represent my community. And I will say that I have projects on here that some of them, not the only one that I really advocated for was 38th Avenue, and that was because part of you, not this whole body, supported a $500,000 budget amendment during COVID for me to get a road safety audit for 38th Avenue. So I've literally been thinking about 38th Avenue since 2021, yeah, because it's on a high injury network. People from Denver Housing Authority cross to get to 7-Eleven, which is the grocery store for them, and they've passed away. And so it has been really, I'm not surprised. I'm going to say out loud, I'm not surprised by any of your comments. I'm really not. I'm not surprised by the sentiment around this table. I have been saying this at the Executive Bond Committee. I've been advocating it to you. I think a couple of you came up to me one time after my last meeting, and I was probably almost in tears. Honestly, because I was like, I do not know how I'm going to get this across the finish line with my colleagues. And anyone who has asked me in the last 3 weeks, how are you doing? I think you've all seen I have a bag under my right eye, because I have spent 15 hours on top of my other job with this executive bond committee, looking at the numbers, looking at the scope. I asked every single one of you for a priority of your list so that the executive bond committee members could hear from you, not from me. In every single meeting, I went back and said, what was on their list? What was on their list? Patrick and that they all know, I said, what was on their list? Is this meeting their list? And with $800 million bond, how do you spread that throughout the city? When a city, we have deferred maintenance, We have streets that need paving. We need streets that need crossing. We have streets that need to be converted from one-way to two-way. We have streets that have been called out for safety. And we have parks and recreations that need funding. And even though, Councilman Cashman, even though we do have a dedicated source of funding, I have a pool that's about to close across the street from Denver Housing Authority, the Quig Newton, that probably on an average day has 50 kids in it, on an average day, sometimes 75. And unbeknownst to me, that pool does not have a lifespan anymore. And I have been working in council in that neighborhood since 2012, and I never knew Aslan Pool was about to be closed until I sat on this executive bond committee. So just want to say that I feel all of you. I'm not surprised. And to your point, Councilmember Watson, I want to get to a yes too. Because in times of economic downturn, it has been our bonds that have people brought people together. In a time of economic downturn, it has been our bonds that bring communities of color out for jobs. In economic downturns, it's small businesses that actually thrive from the bonds, and it actually does stimulate our economy. And as someone who's sitting here thinking about how do we balance a budget with a $200 million deficit facing us in 2026, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how we juggle all of these pieces of a puzzle and put them all together, but I do believe that everyone on this body, we can do it together. And the more fractioned we are, I think the worst off our residents will be. So I just say, I'm open. I've been reaching out to you. I'm sure you all were all sick of my text messages about the bond. And then, can I share your priorities? Can I hear from you? I'm around this weekend. Call me. Let's figure this out. And let's try to get a bond package to the residents of Denver by this November. And I think that we can, and I'm not prepared to make any announcements about anything other. And that's why I started out this committee meeting saying thank you to the executive bond committee, because literally I got to know those members. I was literally spending one Sunday, I spent 5 hours with them, and I woke up and went back at 7 o'clock in the morning and stayed until 12. So that was because I wanted to make sure that you all were represented and your priorities were represented. And I understand that not everything got in this bond. So I think we have work to do. I think we have phone calls to make. I think you all need to make sure that your voices are being heard by the administration and figure out what your top priorities are in your council district and advocate for those. I can't get new parks. I can't get a new rec center at Scheitler Rec Center in this bond that I've been wanting. My Scheitler's looked the same my entire life since I've been on swim team there. It's not in this bond. So, but I do believe that 38th Avenue is more important than the Scheitler Rec Center right now, so people can get safely through Denver and cross to get to, I have four schools along 38th Avenue. And it doesn't even fix the bathtub. I still have a bathtub that is like that when it rains, I have rain that you can't drive under 38th Avenue. So that is still not in this bond. So I say, let's get together, let's roll up our sleeves, let's work together on this so that we can send a package. That will be my hope, that we can send a package to the voters in November. And with that, I'll stand adjourned, but I'm just open for conversations and just feel free to reach out to me. Thank you all.
Side or a different